إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله عليه وسلامه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن استنى بسنته أجمعين يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد عباد الله We are at the very end of Dhul-Qi'dah and on the precipice of Dhul-Hijjah, the blessed month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Shahr Allah al-Haram. And in it is going to be one of the greatest acts of ibadah that any Muslim could do. And it is one of those acts of ibadah that every Muslim hopes and prays that one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the ability to fulfill. Ala wa huwa al-Hajj. Verily, that is the ibadah of Hajj. Hajj is a great act of worship. It houses within it all of the different acts of worship that we do separately with regards to our salah, our zakah, and our siyam of Ramadan. All of those things that we do when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through, it is all brought together in the rites of al-hajj. Now there are many things about al-hajj that we can talk about. We can talk about the different types of hajj. There's tamattu', there's ifrad, and there's qiran. And we could talk about the different types of things that you do in hajj, from tawaf to staying in Mina, to standing on the Mount of Arafah, to spending the night in Muzdalifah, to throwing the stones in Jamarat, and so on and so forth. And we could speak about all of these things, but mashallah, these things are kind of well known and understood. What's more important for us is that to recognize that this is an obligation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on us, each and every single individual, one by one. It's a fard ayn to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ, that you should all complete and fulfill your hajj and your umrah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every single one of you, male and female. So that it is an obligation on your shoulders and your shoulders alone and nobody else's. Do not expect somebody else to bear the burden of your hajj for you. Do not wait for anybody else in order for them to accompany you in order to make your hajj. If you are able to and you have the ability to make hajj, then that is incumbent upon you to do that, just like your salah. As soon as you are of age, as soon as you are able to, as soon as you know how to, then you have to. There is no excuse for you not to pray. As soon as you are able to fast the month of Ramadan, there is no excuse for you not to fast the month of Ramadan. Similarly, just like all other acts of worship, as soon as you are able to make the trip to Hajj, then inshallah, you should do that. ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these acts of worship that are associated with Hajj are all from aggrandizing and recognizing the greatness of Islam. The greatness of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to Muslims and given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his Sahaba radhiyallahu alayhim, and given to all the prophets that came before that as well, who aggrandized the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he describes this aggrandizement and this awe and this amazement with regards to al-hajj and this reverence that we have for al-hajj. This is from the taqwa of the believers' hearts. Min taqwa al-qulub. So the people who don't revere Hajj and think of it as, ah man, this is just like, you know, some waste of time, or this is a bunch of, like, you know, millions of people getting together and it's a really, really, like, you know, terrible experience, and, you know, you've got to bump shoulders with people and it's all hot and sweaty, and, you know, you're wearing your ihram and stuff and just a piece of cloth, and there's no tatayyub and there's no perfume and there's no ability to, like, you know, have a shower with some proper shampoo until after you're done with it all, and all these other things that people will say of a negative element. We have to go through it with people who are uncultured and who aren't educated and who are really brash and really raw and really rough when it comes to doing the Hajj, and they're pushing you and shoving you and you're trying to kiss the black stone and they're like, you know, smashing you out of the way and so on and so forth and all these other terrible things that people experience on Hajj. We have to look beyond that and look past that, because we are not therefore or thereby aggrandizing the sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, what we are doing is we are focusing on the negative elements of the human character which we all have in our own selves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, when he's speaking to Ibrahim alayhi salam, this is a hikaya, this is speaking in the past, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ. He speaks to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and some say this is a khitab to the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is directing this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but in actuality it's Ibrahim alayhi salam. Call people all across the world to make hajj, and they will come to you rijalan, not men, they will come to you walking. Right, rijal is the plural of rajil. Wa'ala kulli damir, and they will come on every sort of camel. And a damir here is that camel or that horse that is very lean and very skinny and not well fed. Yatina min kulli fajin amiq, and all of these different riding beasts that aren't very well fed, they're all going to come from different parts of the world and from all angles and from all directions. Now it's interesting to note that he mentions two things here when it comes to coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He mentions coming walking. And who here wants to walk to Mecca from London? I don't know about that. And Damir, going on a riding beast that is mahzul, that is hungry, that is not well fed and not well kept. Meaning that the person who owns it isn't the most, you know, well off and well to do person. Doesn't have the most money in the world, where he has the best riding beast, where he has the best car, where he has the best plane, where he has the best package. He gets the platinum package on that Mutawif app or whatever it's called, right? And then, you know, his payment doesn't go through his stuff and he can't get through to customer services and all that jazz. But it doesn't get like the best hotel when he goes out there and so on and so forth. It's not about all of that stuff. Rather, what it is about is whatever is the bare minimum that you are able to go to Hajj with, then that is enough for you to fulfill your obligation. And you shouldn't be waiting for, I want to get into that hotel with the clock tower on it, right? And I want to be right inside, right in front of the Haram. So all I do is when I come down the elevator from my room and I open the hotel doors, I walk straight into the Kaaba and Allahu Akbar, I'm right there, Saf al-Awwal, all that jazz. If you want to like pay like 15, 20, above £1,000, then be my guest. But that's not the purpose of Hajj, and that shouldn't be the goal at all. Rather, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alluding to here is that whatever means that you have at your disposal, then that is what you should use. He then goes on to say, فِهِ آيَاتٌ بَيِّنَاتٌ مَقَامُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَمَنْ دَخَلَهُ كَانَ آمِنًا وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. That is it incumbent upon every single Muslim to make the Hajj, no matter who he is, no matter who she is, no matter where she is, no matter how he is. Got to make the Hajj. Man istata'a ilayhi sabila, whoever is able. And a lot of ulama have spoken throughout the years about what does istata'a ilayhi sabila mean? What does it mean to be able to make the Hajj? Some say that it is the bare minimum of being able to make it to Hajj, either by walking or riding on a camel, because that's what they used to do back in the day. But you have some form of transport, some transit to be able to get you from where you are to Mecca. And you have some form of provision that's going to be able to allow you to survive in order to get there, right? So I'm not going to go hungry while you're on your way. And that the way to get there is also safe. So there aren't like, you know, bandits, there isn't some war-torn like country that you have to stop in, and you know, that's going to cause a detriment to you getting to Mecca. But that is the man istata'a ilayhi sabila, that's the bare minimum. Now whatever that looks like now in our time, then that is going to be the bare minimum. Now some say like, okay, now what's going on today is that they are putting up the prices so much for Hajj that, you know, a man who is sort of working 9 to 5 and kind of on like the borders of minimum wage and doesn't really get paid, you know, that great, is going to have to save up for many, 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 many years in order to be able to complete the Hajj. And how is that fair on that person? Aren't these people now, with these prices that they're setting of like the minimum of like £5,000, £6,000, it's a lot of money for a lot of people. If they're setting that high a figure, does that not mean that they are now stopping people from making the Hajj? Could be a good argument. Some could say that's a good argument, that's a strong argument, they should lower that price and they should make it as cheap as possible. Absolutely, that's the principle that every single person who is residing over the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Mecca should be, that should be their main goal, to make it as easy as possible for everybody to make the Hajj. But does that mean that it has to be like the cheapest thing in the world? Does that mean that it has to be free? Not really. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ when he's speaking in the siyaq of al-hajj after the ayah وَأَذِنْ فِي النَّاسِ لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُوا إِسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ and he goes on to say other things but the most important part of this ayah is لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ and the ulama have spoken extensively about the tafsir of this ayah that to bear witness of the benefits or the blessings that they can receive therein by going to hajj And what are the benefits and blessings that they can receive therein? One of them is obviously the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the spirituality that you get from that, the connection that you get from to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through it, the people that you meet and the connections that you make with people from all over the world, and the fact that millions of people are coming to this one place and all for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a great thing. That's an amazing blessing. But also, what's an amazing blessing is people find their sustenance through Hajj. Now, when you go to Hajj, back in the day, you need to get there first of all, so you need to sort of like hire a caravan that's going to be able to take you there. When you get there, you need to stay somewhere, so you're going to have to hire somewhere to stay. And then when you leave that place, you're going to have to hire something obviously to get you back to where you came from. And so on and so forth. So all of this stuff, it takes money, it costs, there's a cost element to it. And that is what we share as Muslims and we cooperate with one another upon righteousness and piety through. So it doesn't necessarily mean that Hajj has to be like the cheapest thing in the world or has to be at at a cut price, or that everything has to be provided to you for free. Rather, what they should be doing is trying their best to facilitate Hajj in the easiest way possible. And if that comes at some cost, then that cost is bared, inshallah ta'ala. But it's reasonable, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ الَّذِي جَعَلْنَاهُ لِلنَّاسِ سَوَاءً الْعَاكِفُ فِيهِ وَالْبَادِ مَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ In this ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal, he speaks about the severity of committing sins with regards to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to the time of al-hajj and the place that hajj is found in. And the reason why that's important to mention here is because that when we are going for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are making the hajj for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and even if we're not going but we have that niyyah to go, we have to accompany that niyyah with righteousness and tolerance and mercy towards others around us. We shouldn't be extending our hand of dhulm to those who go on hajj. We shouldn't be extending the hand of dhulm to those who are facilitating hajj either. And they should not extend the hand of dhulm to those who come to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship him either. And whoever does this, not even whoever does it, whoever intends it. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, وَمَنْ يُرِدْ فِيهِ بِإِلْحَادٍ بِظُلْمٍ وَمَنْ يُرِدْ whoever wishes, whoever wants, meaning that if there is the mere intent to harm those who are going to hajj, who wish to make the hajj, or who are at hajj, whoever has even the slightest intent to do that, نُذِقْهُ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ for him is a severe punishment, either here in the dunya, or there is going to be qisas in the akhirah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that and allow us to have the righteous and the correct niyyah for making hajj, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to make hajj as well, although regardless of the price, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if we are unable to have that firm intention, have that firm qasd, and have that firm desire and that want to be able to make that hajj. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وبعد Verily in the day of Jumu'ah there's an hour in which if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asked of anything, he does not leave the one who asks him empty-handed. We hope and pray that this is that hour in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our du'as and hears our call and heeds it inshaAllah and returns to us in the best of ways. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bottom of our hearts and with the utmost sincerity to forgive our sins, to overlook our shortcomings and to save us from the punishment of the hellfire. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ اللَّهُمَّ ارْزُقْنَا حَجَّ بَيْتِكَ الْحَرَامَ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ اللَّهُمَّ وَفِّقْنَا لِكُلِّ عَمَلٍ تُحِبُّهُ وَتَرْضَاهُ يَا أَكْرَمَ الْأَكْرَمِينَ اللهم ارزقنا الإخلاص في القول والعمل يا رب العالمين وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العلي الجليل يذكركم واشكروه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة